Turn in your Bibles, the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 2. I'm already like the first 8 verses here. Excuse me. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. That's where I'm going to stop. Every now and then it kind of just gets rubbed in your nose what the world doesn't know. Well, sometimes it's every day, but I got this scripture on my mind, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Now, first thing I want to say, I did look at, Gil, when he talked about this, and he related this princes of the world mostly to the religious. Well, I believe that's partially true. There's a little more than that. It's not talking about, as it per se, the prince of the power of the air. It's not talking about Satan. It is talking about men. But I'm reminded of Acts 4:27, where it says, "For of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles, and the people of Israel." Nobody's accepted. There's a lot of people going around. Walter, you remember Roy? When down in Kellysville, somebody went up painting on bridge abutments, sign, "Jews killed Jesus." So we took it upon ourselves to paint over that. Because everyone's guilty. If I'd have been there, I'd have been saying crucify him. And if you'd have been there, you'd have been saying crucify him, except for the grace of God. So when he speaks here, I believe of the princes of the world, I believe he's talking about all of them. Because they were all involved, they were all assenting, they all said yea and amen. They all thought they were doing God a favor. And in a sense, they were filling out the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. But they did it with wicked hands. They're still responsible for doing it. And so are we. Everyone is. But anyway, as I was reading this, of course, looking at the fact of Paul was writing, as he always did, to his brethren. Because the apostle to the Gentiles did not address any of his letters to unbelievers. Not one of them. You won't find a letter from the apostle Paul to the unbelievers of the world. Not even the princes of the world. The reason for this is because the good news, the gospel, is not for unbelievers. No matter what some of our other brethren might say, the gospel, the good news, is for believers only. Because they are the only ones who will receive the word of the Lord. The truth of God and Jesus Christ is for believers. The gospel is the same. The Messiah saves. And in our case, the Messiah has saved. And it's never changed. The only change in the good news has been one of time reference. In the Old Testament, it was written looking forward for the Messiah to come. All those sacrifices set forth and actually happened, no matter what some Jewish scholars say. I've had discussions with them and they say, you don't really think they killed all them sheep, Mason? Yeah, I do. You don't really think they actually sacrificed turtle doves? Yeah, I do. They offered a grain offering, they offered a wave offering, they offered a sheave offering. Blood was shed in the tabernacle. Blood was shed. But it was looking forward to the Messiah, whose blood would be shed, and whose blood would actually take away the sins of the world. It was looking forward. And those that believe God offered those sacrifices. Those that knew God in the Old Testament knew the Messiah and knew He was coming. Moses wrote of Christ. Abraham saw His day and was glad. You don't have to take my word for it. That's what Christ said. Search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. It's John 5:39. And John 8:56. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. And he saw it. And was glad. Those who offered sacrifices in faith were looking forward to the coming of the Messiah, because Jesus Christ's blood was offered, at that time was to be offered for many. Isaiah talked of it, by his stripes we're healed. Hadn't happened yet. We can say it now, by his stripes we are healed. He justified many. He healed many. But they were looking forward to it. Now it also mentions those who offered sacrifices but not in faith. There were sacrifices offered, not in faith. And a sacrifice offered not in faith is just about the same as someone offering a chicken on the Day of Atonement. It's of no value. It's of no purpose. And if you don't get to eat the chicken, it's a waste. As a matter of fact, their sacrifices would show forth their condemnation, because it was almost as if they didn't know the Lord of glory. Isaiah put it this way: he that killeth an ox as if he slew a man. He that sacrificeth a lamb as if he cut off a dog's neck. He that offereth an oblation as if he offered swine's blood. He that burneth incense as if he blessed an idol. He doesn't stop there. He says, yea, They have chosen their own ways, and their soul delighteth in their abomination. I'm sorry, it's an abomination to wave a chicken over your head on the Day of Atonement. Man hasn't changed. Human depravity is still total. In the Old Testament, there were those who did not believe God or the Messiah. While he was actually here on the earth, there were some tried to stone him. Some tried to kill him. And there was one bunch that I got in my head the other day, just asked him to go away. Walter, you were talking about this not too long ago, that Gadarene demoniac. It's in Mark chapter 5, verse 9. He says, and he asked him, what's thy name? And he answered, saying, my name is Legion, for we're many. And he besought them that they would not send him away out of the country. And there were nigh under the mountains a great herd of swine feeding, and all the devils, plural, besought him, saying, send us into the swine, that we may enter them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave. And the unclean spirits went out, and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea, and there were about 2,000 of them. And they were choked in the sea. And those that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country, and they went out to see what it was that was done. And they did. And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed in his right mind, and they were afraid. And they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. Mark 5:17 says this, and they began to pray him to depart out of their coast. The Lord of glory was standing right in front of these people. He had just performed a miracle verified by witnesses. And they said, would you mind leaving? Would you please go away? Welcome to humankind. Welcome to mankind. He'd taken a man possessed with a legion of devils and cleared them out of that man. He's there sitting, clothed in his right mind. You'd think that would be a cause for rejoicing. Yes. Yeah. Wonderful. A mighty work. Of course, it cost us 2,000 pigs. It might have been something to do with it. You never know. But still, we can get rid of this guy before he kills more pigs, I guess. They asked the Lord of glory, God manifest in human flesh, the creator of the universe, to go away. And he did.
He did.
He did. They prayed him to depart. Now that fella wanted to go with him. Christ said, no, you stay here and say what's happened to you, what I did for you. Let him know. And there was much rejoicing in the city later. And then I think in one of the other accounts, it actually says Christ went back, he was received better the second time. But here you are coming face to face with the Lord of glory, and you ask him to go away. What is wrong with us? Everything. That's exactly what's wrong with us. Everything. That's why we say depravity is total. Because some people only think they're so sort of depraved. Kind of depraved. I'm nearby to dead. No, you're dead. Without Christ, we're all dead. Now, the reason they asked him to depart was because they didn't know the Lord of glory. They didn't know him. Neither did the princes of this world. And I'll tell you the truth right now, neither do the princes of this world right now. Nothing, as far as man is concerned, has ever changed. Jesus Christ could walk down the street of Beckley and right into the First Baptist Church and they'd ask him to go away. I can pretty much guarantee it, because they would not want to hear what he has to say about what he has done, what he is doing, and what he will do. The wisdom of God that Paul preached is the Lord of glory. Jesus Christ is wisdom. And that is who the princes of this world didn't know. Now, it's not, and I got to think about this last night, it's not, Walter, that they didn't know the baby Jesus. You know, it's not that they didn't know the miracle worker from Nazareth. That's not the problem. It's not even the fact that they didn't know the Savior. The princes of this world did not know the Lord of glory. The God of the Bible and His Son, Jesus Christ. He stood in front of them. He preached the word of God to them live and in person. Now, how is somebody preaching the gospel from a pulpit like this supposed to give somebody life? Or be used to give life? When they had the Christ of God preaching to him and they asked him to leave. I don't believe in gospel regeneration. I'm sorry. Not even close. Because I don't believe anybody's ever preached any better than Jesus Christ. And they threw rocks at him. And they threw rocks at you too if they get a chance. Luckily, we're a little more civilized and there's a lot more policemen around. They didn't know the Lord of glory when they saw him, when he spoke to them, and when he left them and went his way. So who is this Lord of glory? Psalms chapter 24 and verse 7. This is the one that I like. Psalms chapter 24, verse 7. Well, heck, verse 1. The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, and they that dwell therein. For he hath founded it upon the seas, and established it upon the floods. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. That's not me. And that's not you either. Thank you, Walter. That's Christ. He shall receive the blessing from the Lord in righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face, O Jacob, Selah. God owns the world and everything in it and everybody on it. Then verse 7, lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord. Strong and mighty. The Lord, mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Selah. This is who the princes of this world do not know. The Lord. Not the Savior, not the baby, not the miracle worker. The Lord. It puts a little more different spin on it than most people give it. Where it says, if you call upon the name of the Lord, thou shalt be saved. This is the Lord you got to call on.
Amen.
Strong and mighty.
Yeah.
This is who the world does not know. The King of glory. The Lord of glory. The world doesn't know him. And the Lord, the world doesn't want to know him. Because the Lord of glory doesn't need me. I need him. The Lord of glory, don't take this personally, doesn't need you. Well, you can take it personally. It doesn't matter. It is personal. The Lord of glory doesn't need you or me or anyone. His kingdom shall have no end if there's nobody in it but him. Because he is the King of glory. He is the Lord of glory. I need him. You need him. And the world doesn't want to need him. They will not have this man to reign over them. Now you can save them all you want. They'll buy a savior. They buy it every week. Every day. They don't want a Lord. They'll try to talk you into, let him save you today. He can make him your Lord tomorrow. No, he ain't gonna save you if he's not your Lord. You aren't saved unless he's your Lord. He's strong in battle. I'm not. He is strong and mighty, and I am weak. So weak, I am without strength. I have no strength. None. I need him who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to unto vanity, who has not ever spoken deceitfully. Because I am nothing but vanity. My heart's not pure, and I have sworn deceitfully. Because I need his blessing every day. And I want his blessing every day. Now, I'm glad for the baby Jesus. I'm glad for the miracle worker in Nazareth. I'm glad for the Savior. But I need the Lord of glory.
Amen.
To save me.
Yeah.
His arm's not short, he cannot save. He is what? Mighty to save. The world does not want to know the King of glory. And as you'll read on in this chapter, the world cannot know the Lord of glory. And I'll tell you this, they'll show it every time they open their mouths and speak that they don't know Him. I thought somebody, I guess maybe I was hoping one time that somebody was making this up, but no, I actually heard one of them say it one time. The Lord has no hands but your hands. The Lord has no feet but your feet. The Lord has no mouth but your mouth. So get out there and do things for God. He's the Lord of glory. He doesn't need my hands, my feet, or my mouth. He may use them, but He does not need them. I am not, and you are not, His only option. And if you ever hear anybody ever say anything even similar to that, in any way, shape, or form, you can lay it to this statement right here, that they do not know the Lord of glory. Because if they think God needs their hands, their feet, or their mouth, or anything they have, they're wrong. Whenever any one of them ever espouses the choice of free will, they'll show forth their lack of knowledge of the Lord of glory also. Now we're getting closer to Halloween, so the television is plumb full of movies. I gotta quit watching this stuff, I swear. I do. I mean, I just gotta stop someday. I watched a fella playing a priest on a movie with Arnold Schwarzenegger saying, Arnold asked him, why doesn't God save us? And the priest looked at him and said, no, this book says we got to save ourselves. And I wondered what book he was holding up. Because it wasn't this book. That's the world. They think that's profound. And even the professed Christians who might take a little bit of offense at that, no, we only help save ourselves. God does most of it. This book says God does all of it. He's the Lord of glory. He is the one whose arm is not short that it cannot save. He's the one whose arm has to save. Or there is no salvation, because salvation is of the Lord. The Lord of glory. The world doesn't know this, but Christ's people do know the Lord of glory. Believers know Him. Believers love Him as the Lord of glory. Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love Him. But God. A lot of places stop right there saying you can't know stuff. You can't know. You can only hope. But God has revealed unto us by His Spirit. It doesn't stop there. The things which God hath prepared for them that love Him, God hath revealed unto us by His Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. You're not going to know them all. And some days I don't think I know them very well. But I know Him. I know He's my Lord. He is my God. Jesus Christ is my God and my Savior. And I know that because God hath revealed it unto me by Spirit. Because there was a time I didn't know it, didn't care, and didn't love it. But now I do know, I do care, and I do love it. Matter of fact, it's a blessing I don't deserve. But I want it. And if you don't want it, don't worry about it. You ain't gonna have it. Some people get mad you tell them that. You don't want it, you ain't gonna get it. If I believe that, I do what I want. Go right ahead. Just try and leave me out of it most of the time. That's all I ask. Don't come bragging to me about what you done. Because I got enough that I do that I don't like. I don't want to hear about what you did that I don't like. But He is the Lord of glory. Whether the princes of this world know it, whether you know it, or whether I know it, He is the Lord of glory, the King of glory. And He always will be. Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful again for this time, this place. And Lord, we ask for Your blessings. Walter, come and preach the Word to us. And let us hear it and understand it and lay hold of it and clasp it in our hearts and our minds, that we might understand some of Your will and Your way in this world. We ask this in the name of Your Son, our Lord, Jesus Christ. Amen.